You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on strangelabel.com.
Boop-dee-doo-scoop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop. Poop-dee-scoop-dee-scoop-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-whoop-poop. Poop-dee-dee-whoop-scoop. Poop. Poop. Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop. Whoop-dee-dee-scoop-poop.
Will Walker Jr. here.
Hope you get enough dicks in that wheelbarrow.
Scoopy woo. Scoopy woo.
With my idle hands, there's nothing I can do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Drunkard STL, on the Twitters. Mr. Travis Hulse, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, the
popcorn bitch.
Popcorn bitch. Old Hustlin' Hulse. Travis.
Buzz.
The king of buzz. Travis, you wanted us all to be a buzz.
The king of all buzz.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And guys, we do have a very special guest joining us from the Lotus Cast. Matt is here, everyone. Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys, it's me again.
Hooray! It's been a long time.
Guys, May on the program has a theme. It's Matt May.
I don't know.
It's a new thing we do, guys. It's every May we have Matt on for May.
Wasn't he on in April, too?
That was my birthday.
It was birth month.
Yeah.
Guys, we've got a lot to talk about. Travis... Did I tell you that Drunk snubbed me? Did I tell you about that?
I did not snub.
I was snubbed.
I waved at you like you asked me to.
See, now what happened was...
That is all you asked, is you just wanted the wave.
Travis, when you're at a small, intimate venue...
It wasn't that small.
And your good pal that you see every week and do a thing with is there, you know, pretty close to you, you'd think that you go outside the venue and you wait around and you say hey to your pal, right? But Drunk maybe did not wait for me.
Maybe he didn't want to introduce you to his lady.
He left. I've met his lady.
Oh, maybe she doesn't like you.
Maybe she was not impressed. See, my wife, she's a
my
fan.
Wife.
See, my wife, she's a fan of that Whose Line
my
Is
wife.
It Anyway? That program where they do the improvisational comedy. By the way, we have a guest coming up after the break, Mr. Chuck Roy will be joining us. He's a stand-up comedian.
He was not at the show.
Is that show still on? Is that like a comeback, a reboot show? Whose Line?
Yeah, it's on the...
Yes, Matt.
It's on the CW.
Who's on it? Who's hosting that?
Right now, they're doing a live tour.
It's on the CW?
Yeah. And the host is Aisha Tyler.
And it's Greg Proops and some guy... That's on the show sometimes. Bill Murray's brother, Joel Murray.
He was pretty funny.
And Ryan Stiles is the headliner, you know, the big deal. You know, everybody goes to see Ryan Stiles because he's the Whose Line Is It Anyway guy. You know, Ryan Stiles, man.
Greg Proops is probably on as many episodes as Ryan Stiles.
And so you go to the program, and Laura was really excited to see Ryan Stiles all week. She said,
so,
I love
so
Ryan Stiles. Yes. I'm so excited to see Ryan Stiles. And the first thing that they do is they come out and they say, hey, guys, Ryan Stiles is sick.
Oh, boy.
So he's not coming.
And you're not getting a refund.
And you're not getting a refund. And see, Ryan Stiles' sickness The information is available, but they don't go out of their way to give it to you. You know what I mean? Like, if you knew Ryan Stiles was sick, you could find more information that says Ryan Stiles is sick. You know, they've said it before, but it's not like they advertise every day. Hey, man, Ryan Stiles isn't going to be at this show. You know, he's all over the posters and stuff.
So your wife and Drunk's girl both really excited to see Ryan Stiles.
Yeah, they're super psyched to see Ryan
Stiles.
Is he
sexy? Do they think he's attractive?
Or they just love his comedy. You know, that's what gals always say, right? They like a funny guy, man.
He's so funny.
Yeah, I don't think they like him in a sexual way. I think they appreciate Ryan Stiles' comedy. It hits him right in the fucking funny bone. You know what I'm saying? And so,
in the snatch.
When Greg Proop said...
Does it, like, if you play Ryan Stiles for them, the comedic offerings of Ryan Stiles, will that guarantee that you guys get laid that night?
Well, I mean, I took my lady to this show because I know that she's a fan of right? Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, no.
And that's the reason that Drunk decided to go, too. He's like, oh, my lady really likes Whose Line Is It Anyway?
But then he wasn't there and you didn't get laid.
Yeah, Matt, when Ryan Stiles wasn't there, it was a major crotch dryer, you know?
That whole room just dried up.
Right, right. And so when Greg Proops comes out and says Ryan Stiles isn't there, but don't worry, we have a big-time Hollywood star coming out that is going to more than make up for Ryan Stiles.
Ooh.
Now, in that moment, it could be anyone in your dream. Charlie's Chocolate Factory is opening in your head. You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, my God, who's going to come out here?
Right.
Who's it going to be, Matt? And then when they finally announce who it is, it's Dave Foley.
Dave Foley?
From the news radio.
No, from the Kids in the Hall. Dave Foley was there?
And
that's pretty cool.
A Bug's Life.
A huge upgrade. Yeah.
Over Ryan Stiles? Travis?
Yeah, he was a kid in the hall.
He was not good.
Yeah, Travis, maybe you're into Dave Foley. I could have, you know, gotten some points with you you to the Who's Live Anyway.
I like Dave Foley, but he's not improv guy.
No, he's a sketch guy.
I like Dave Foley. I also just honestly gone to see Joel Murray because...
Now, Matt, it was a fun show. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed going. Okay. I'm glad I went. Not complaining about it at all. What I'm saying is, after the show, when I go outside and I wait in the foyer from a friend...
Oh, it wasn't for a meet and greet? They didn't do a meet and greet after the show?
I text my friend... I wait around. I'm thinking, oh, my friend's going to come out here. We're going to, you know, say, oh, yeah, we all enjoyed the show, right? Nowhere to be found. He's gone.
Oh,
he's
probably gone. Backstage.
Oh, no.
I did have the very last row in this place, so I could get out fairly quickly.
And so, hold on.
Did you guys make arrangements prior saying, hey, let's meet up?
Matt, wouldn't you think?
So last week, Mike told me that he was going to the show, and I was like, oh, my lady really likes that. So after the show last week, I stayed around for a couple seconds, and I bought tickets here at Mike's humble abode.
Sure.
And he bought tickets that were sort of within eyeshot of my tickets so that we could wave to one another, Matt.
Right.
Like when we Did both found our seats, like as soon as Drunk come in, I saw him. And I said, there's Drunk. And then I waited for him to look over.
And I did.
And then I gave him a little wave, and he waved back.
I waved back, and then Lindy waved, and then Laura waved, and it was a wave.
And then that was it.
That seems like all I would have done as well.
Travis, you wouldn't have waited around and said hi to old Mike?
No, because I was going to see you on Tuesday.
If it was me going to the show, and Mike, we've never been in the same room together, of course I would have waited after the show. But if I was drunk, like if I had the relationship that you and Drunk have, I would have made plans to meet up prior to the show. And like maybe we could get together and have a drink or something. But after that, bitch, I am out of there so fast.
Well, like, Drunk texted me like 2 days later. Man.
It was not. It was the fucking next day.
And he says,
I would have pre-gamed. If I was going to do anything, I would have pre-gamed.
Now, this gave me a little bit of PTSD, but Drunk's reply was, sorry, man, we had to bolt out of there. We both had the poops.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
both had the poops.
You should have at least said one of you had the crud.
Yeah.
Nope. They had enchiladas for dinner earlier in the day.
Chicken enchiladas for dinner.
He said they barely made it home.
We barely made it to the show on time. And then
Barely made it to the show on time because you were both having diarrhea before the show?
No,
because
we were making our chicken enchiladas and I didn't properly time the cook time diarrhea. Prep.
And so on the way home, are you booking it to get
Like literally diarrhea. 20 minutes before the show is over with, me and Lindy are looking at each other like rubbing our bellies like, yo, it's coming.
Drunk, do you poop in front of your girl?
Oh, yeah. Door open and everything.
Door open and everything.
Yeah, I do too, man.
I'll have a conversation with
what?
Her. I mean,
Mike, you do too?
Sure. I have an ensuite in my room, so I mean, she'll be laying on the bed and I'll leave the door open and we'll have a conversation.
Travis. Nope.
The exhaust fan in my bathroom, it's too loud. And I don't like turning on my light because then my exhaust fan comes on and it's just too loud.
Replace the exhaust fan.
I just leave the door open. That way I can have I'm saving electricity, Travis.
So I always shit in shame. And Rochelle will often leave the door open. And like I'll just walk in and, you know, she's taking a shit. No shame at all. But me, I hide. Like I really make an effort. Sometimes I've had to shit like in the middle of the night and I leave I don't even use our bathroom that's in our room. I'll come to the bathroom across the house.
See, for me, it's not shame. For me, it's my private time. I don't shit less than 20 minutes. Like, I got my Sudoku app out. I'm in there for the long haul.
Wow.
Yeah, I spend a good amount of time in there, and I really shouldn't. I end up getting into
in
a whole...
I know people like that at work that do that. Like, they can just bop in, they bop out. You know they took a shit because it reeks in there, but... I'll tell you, no way, man. 15, 20, 25 minutes.
See, at work, I won't shit at work. I will get in the car and drive to like the Costco across the street and
gross.
Shit in that bathroom.
No way.
I have two places at work. You're crazy.
Two places that I'll shit. I'll shit at my house and I'll shit at work and that's it.
No, I used to be like that, but now I'm kind of like I'll shit anywhere.
I was about to say, what if you're at like a parade? You won't use a porta john or anything?
No, yeah. I'll hold it. God, I'll make myself feel bad until I can get home. Like it's different. I guess if I'm out of town, like I'll use a hotel bathroom.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If I had to shit in like a public setting like that, I would push over the porta potty to cause a distraction so I could shit behind a building or something.
So you won't shit with the door open. Will you shower with the door open?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not worried about being naked in front of my wife. I just can't poop in front of her.
See, it's funny to me that you're not willing to leave the door open, but you're willing to go in there while she's taking a shit. See, I'm like all about this.
It's always a surprise. It's a surprise. It's like I'll go in there and I'll think maybe she's peeing or something.
Even
and
that
the smell hits you and you're like, oh God, this is happening.
Even that, I'm just not interested.
Like sometimes she'll be sitting there on the toilet and then like we have a bidet and I'll hear the bidet start. I'm like, oh, come on.
Oh, look who's Mr. Fancy.
Well, listen.
Hey, Mr. Fancy.
Days are great.
Aren't you shitting with the door open?
I love one, actually. If you purchase one, it's a simple install. It costs like $25 on Amazon. It will change your life.
I'm in. I mean, I already replaced the toilet with like a throne, like a high sitting toilet. So I need to add that bidet to it.
Yeah. If you have, you've got the squatty potty?
No.
I do. I bought the 2-pack at Costco, Matt.
Yeah, squatty potty. That's another thing that really really upgraded my defecations.
I feel like I have a homemade squatty potty.
Got a little stool that you slide underneath there?
Yeah.
Dookie stool?
Because, I mean, my toilet's made for somebody that's like 6'5", and I'm only like 5'7", so...
Drunk, starting off the show, I played the new Kanye West track. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, I thought that was just because I told you that I had the poops, and that's why you played.
Poopity scoop.
Poopity scoop.
Scoopity whoop.
That was Kanye West?
Yeah, yeah. See, the Spotify, Travis, very rarely do they put new music on their new music page, except on Fridays. On Fridays, they get all the new releases that come out. But if somebody puts up something of serious... cultural significance, it makes the main page. And so the new Kanye West track it made it early, and because it was important that that got out there, the poopity scoop.
Okay, do you remember? Well, actually, that question's irrelevant. Did you like the poopity scoop?
I did, Matt. I've been listening to it all week. I love it.
I tell you what, I am not a Kanye fan. I've never really cared for any of his. Everybody always it's like one of those bands that everybody raves about. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. And I will break out his records at least once a year and try to listen to them because I'm thinking, what am I missing?
You just want to understand.
It goes right over my head every time. And this made me so happy because it made so many people angry. And I was like, it's the ultimate troll. If you listen to that entire track, the what's it called? Rise Up or something.
Yeah. I've been saying for years, I think Kanye's fucking with us. I think the whole thing is a joke. I think everything he does is a goof. And
to a degree, I would agree with you. I actually legitimately kind of stand with him on his whole Trump take, like where, you know, I don't support Trump. He apparently does. But his whole angle on all of this is like, guys, like, I think you're just buying too much into the hate, which is where a lot of people are.
Right. And he's saying that, you know, like, you're allowed to think for yourself. And maybe the people that don't agree with you, like, aren't all Nazis.
It's like, maybe you should actually accept that people have a different view than you. And they're coming from a different place. And there it is.
And like, the slavery is a choice thing. The way I interpreted that, and I may be wrong, but the way that I interpret it, he said something along the lines of, you know, like, you guys have been, you know, identifying as slaves for all this time. Like, maybe you should rise above it. Maybe you shouldn't just say, like, you know, he said, you know, like the Jewish, like, if you think of Jews, like, isn't the first thing you think of the Holocaust?
Right.
And like, maybe you should, like, not identify
you know,
as that.
You are absolutely right. Over the weekend, I don't know whether or not I should recommend this to anybody, because I don't really understand why I wasted 2 hours watching the Rachel Divide, the Rachel Dolezal documentary on Netflix.
I added that to my queue. Should I not watch it?
No, I don't want to tell you to watch it, because if you watch it and hate, I could understand how somebody would watch this and hate it.
It's your reluctant pick of the week.
It is a really weird documentary. But at one point she's talking to this class, and this black woman says, like, the reason why, you know, you can't be a transracial human being is because black people, like, you haven't suffered the way that black people have. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, if we actually remove race, if I could do the Thanos snap and remove racism from the entire world, right? Do black people cease to exist because there's no more racism? Like, she basically said the only way that Rachel could be black is if she has experienced racism.
Right. It's weird. And I think that's what he was saying. I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But I think that what he's saying is, like, you choose to be defined as, like, what your previous ancestors suffered through. Like,
but everybody's doing that now, where, like, everybody is a victim. Like, the victim thing, it gets really tossed around, and it's so watered down now that it's hard to legitimize any of it.
And, you know, like, the people that are mad at Kanye liked Kanye for speaking his mind. And, like, now all of a sudden, because he doesn't agree with them, you know, him speaking his mind is not okay. And I think most of what he does is goofy nonsense, Matt. I think that...
I agree. Yeah, I think so.
But what I'm saying is the poopity scoop... I'm on board with Poopity Scoop. Let's make more Poopity Scoop, Kanye.
I am all for Poopity Scoop.
Yeah, I've listened to that song 300 times this week, Matt. I listened to it over and over again. I'm trying to decode the message. I think that he's trying to say something. You know, I think that it has, like, a deeper meaning. The Poopity Scoop.
Well, sometimes you have to shoopity doop.
Yeah, scoopity whoop. You know what I'm saying?
You got to do it all, really. Any of the scoopity shoopity doopity poopities. Is really what America needs right now.
I tried to encourage Travis to listen to the Poopity Scoop, and he said, I don't fuck with Kanye.
I would have told you the same thing.
And so I told him, I'm going to play it on the show. You're gonna hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I support Travis 100%. I don't think anybody should really fuck with him. I feel as though I'm a pawn in Kanye's game by fucking with him. So.
You fell for it. You fell for the goof.
I'm in it.
And here we are. You know, Spotify, they never put stuff up early, Matt.
The albino alligator, he's his own man. He doesn't need
the Kanye. Goddamn poopity scoop. You got to get that up there. No. You got to get it up there early so that people can hear it. Because Kanye, he's got something to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. I do like Kendrick Lamar. I'm a fan of him.
You like that guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
That Childish Gambino guy, I think I'm on board with him.
Love Childish Gambino. Donald Glover's great.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm sure I've heard Kendrick Lamar stuff. So much of it really.
Man, you know, I'm really hip to what the kids are into these days. You know, yeah.
Most of it, you know, if you listen to like top 40 radio and every rap song now, like there's no more pure rap. It has to be like a rap verse and then somebody has to sing the chorus. There's no just more rap anymore. And most of the shit that you hear on like top 40 or the shit that's popular all sounds exactly the same. Like I would have no idea who any of the people rapping on these tracks are at all.
Sure.
And I actually didn't know who I had heard Kendrick Lamar's name a million times and people saying, oh, this guy's great. And I immediately cast him aside like that. He's one of those new rappers. Those guys kind of suck. And then all of a sudden I heard him on the radio and I was like, I saw the little thing pop up and it said Kendrick Lamar. I'm like, damn, that guy's he's kind of good. He's different. He doesn't sound like all these other guys that are, you know, following some kind of template. He's
how old and white do we all sound?
Right? Well, that hippity hop. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. Matt, you know the Beats by Dre that the kids like, the big headphones with the B on them?
Sure.
I listen to a podcast called Business Wars where they kind of talk about you know, how like rival businesses compete and come out on top, and they did one on you know, the Monster cables.
Yeah, you know, I remember
$40 for a HDMI cable. You know,
remember how they scammed everybody into paying like four times more for a fucking cable?
The Monster cables guy.
Hey, listen, I was in a band, and our whole thing was like, oh god, you got to get these Monster cables. Like Monster cables are the best cables.
Yep.
And fucking instrument cables were insane.
The Monster cables guy, he designed a pair of headphones, like real high-end headphones, and he decided that he wanted to get like some cool people to endorse his headphones, and so he went and had a meeting with Dr. Dre, signed an agreement with him. He made the whole fucking thing. He designed the whole fucking thing. Dr. Dre designed the little B logo. They had a partnership. Monster did fucking everything. And then like somebody bought them and that was somewhere in the contract that if somebody bought them, then Dr. Dre gets all the money. Which it seems like bit of an oversight on a Monster Cable guy. So Monster Cable guys just got like skedaddled right out of the deal.
Seems like he had a pretty shitty lawyer if they didn't read that fine print.
It's a great story. I recommend that you guys check it out because Dre just like, you want to use my name? Cool. And like, you know, he just kind of like snatched the whole fucking thing. So, you know, you get those Beats by Dre, you're really buying like a $40 HDMI cable from Monster. just with
What's so funny about those Beats, too, there's so many other brands that I've heard that are so much better than those fucking headphones, but because they don't have that stupid-ass beat.
But it's a lifestyle brand, Travis. It's a status symbol.
I was about to say, I got the JBLs, and I really like mine.
JBL? It's not cool, though.
Yeah.
You got that B, baby.
I don't care.
That's more of a hipster thing to do, is to have the JBLs.
I guess, to not spend the $150 on a low-end version of Beats by Dre.
Yeah, as you know, I care about audio quality, but I don't care about style. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not smart enough to decipher the difference. Like, you know, as much music as I have listened to in my lifetime, I don't know the difference between any of it. Vinyl, fucking whatever. Just shut up.
I have a pair of Skull Candy earbuds, Matt. That's what I listen to. I listen to a $30 pair of Skull Candies is what I use.
I buy whatever the Amazon choice is.
your skull candies are Bluetooth?
Yeah. Yeah, I got some Bluetooth skull candies. Okay. Drink is what I got.
So if you got a 5-star rating on Amazon,
see, I don't like the things that you got put in your ear. That's not.
Well, see, what I do, Drunk, is I listen to them at work. It's my primary earbud source, and I only put one ear in. That way I can hear what's going on around me. But in the same time, you know, catch some tunes in my other ear. I'm wondering long term from doing that. I've been doing that for a really, really long time. I wonder long term if, like, my hearing is going to be affected in one ear.
Well, you should probably just switch it up.
Like, and not the other. No, see, I prefer my left ear. I tried listening to my right ear. I don't like it. I'm a left ear earbud guy.
Fair enough.
Just how it goes. Maybe it's already affected me.
Probably has.
Yeah, because my left ear.
I prefer chewing on my left side. So, you know, we're similar.
It's the same thing.
I do too, but that's because I have a filling on my right side.
Oh, I have fillings on both sides and crowns on both sides too.
So, guys, what we're going to do, I'm going to take a break. Coming up in a few minutes after the break, we're going to be joined by stand-up comedian Chuck Roy. ChuckRoy.com if you want to check out what Chuck Roy has going on. You know what I'm saying, Drunk?
Yes, sir.
Was the poops an excuse?
It was not an excuse.
Did you just not want to say hi to me?
I really had to go.
Your girlfriend not like me?
She loves you.
Only met her once.
She thinks you're an amazing human.
She didn't dig it?
Oh,
Would you tell me?
Is that real? She thinks that Mike's an amazing human being.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like he went
too
far.
I'd like to find four people that would ever say that out loud. I mean, I like Mike, but I'm not going to say he's an amazing human being. Sir, on my screen, this guy looks suspicious.
Well, we can fix that, can't we?
Internet radio.
Online and on your mobile device.
Strangelabel.com.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear. It's not the way you do your hair. But it's you I like.
That guy singing is Fred Rogers. He hosted a show on PBS from 1968 to 2001 aimed at making kids feel good about themselves. He was soft-spoken, but also very direct.
Remember hearing about John Lennon being shot in New York, and President Reagan and his friends in Washington, and the Pope in Rome, and the young people being murdered in Atlanta and other places? Did you ever know any grown-ups who got married and then later they got a divorce? Well, it is something that people can talk about.
When I was very young, I had a dog that I loved very much. And she got to be old, and she died. And I was very sad when she died.
These are topics you don't hear SpongeBob tackling. I grew up in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and I never really got the opportunity to say thanks for just kind of being a good dude. He stopped being seen publicly a long time ago. So tonight, we're going to find him. This is Finding Mr. Rogers.
Mike! Mike! Hey, Mike!
What? Travis, we're doing a thing.
Yeah, no, I know. The thing you're doing, you can't do it.
Why? No, it's a good thing.
Oh, Mr. Rogers is dead. He died like 2003. That's why he hasn't been seen in public.
He's dead?
He's gone. Can't do it. The show, you can't do this. He's way dead. Sorry, man.
WFOP! I dig my boy, man. He does well. He'll pay for date night on Tuesday. It's his idea. He made reservations. It's because he's got his first real job, paying his first real salary, you know, and now he's paying his first real taxes. And now I know another gay Republican. Come on, shut up, Portland. Are you all upset about the gay Republicans? Are we fucking with your political agenda, Portland? All 26 of us, is our vote really jacking up your politics? I'll call them all. I'm on the phone list. Two of them work off fucking Morse code. I will. Hey guys, Portland's really jacked up. They're mad about all 26 of us ruining their fucking day. Fucking liberals, man. That's just how you are. You're all like open-minded until someone thinks differently than you.
Koopa Troopa, Koopa Troopa, Mosey, Mizo, Gizzard, Hootie, Blowfish, Aloysius, Mr. Holland's Opus. Koopa Troopa. Koopa Troopa?
I know what music is. You could help me to know it better, but no.
Koopa Troopa. Koopa Troopa.
You care more about teaching other people than you do about me.
Iris. What does this mean?
That means asshole.
So there it is. Now. Once again, WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
Hey! I'm the man that rustles the bear.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight is a stand-up comedian, actor, and parade enthusiast. For more information, check out ChuckRoy.com. Guys, Chuck Roy is here.
Well, Chuck, hello. Thank you.
Chuck, how are you doing, man?
I'm wicked awesome. Having a great day. And
it's going good so far?
So far, so good. It's sunshiny in Colorado, and I went for a bike ride. That's new.
Are you exercising? Are you trying to get in shape?
Trying.
Does that mess with your whole vibe that you're putting out there? Like if you get like really in shape, will you have to have like a whole new thing?
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever really get in that kind of shape.
you're more going for like not dying.
You know, my Grizzly Adams-esque look is probably going to hang out.
Our friend Matt here, he went vegan recently, Chuck.
I've been on a whole different lifestyle change where I'm trying to just what I refer to as just be less of a piece of a shit as I was the day before. So I actually ran for 4.5 miles this morning.
What?
Straight.
Right, and what did the police end up charging you with?
it's awful. Like, there's nothing. Everybody always tells you, like, oh, there's this moment where you're going to start to enjoy it, and I don't know when that moment happens. It's awful.
So, Chuck, was there something that happened to you? Did you have, like, a scare or something? What is it that finally made you decide now's the time?
Years ago, like when I moved from Los Angeles to Colorado, it was like a complete decision to change, like how I live, get rid of my car, walk like I like to. Like I've always been, I grew up in New Hampshire, like sort of near Robert Frost Farm. And I think that's a pretty good metaphor for me. Like I'm always on that path or road not taken. And, you know, so since I was a kid, I like going for a bike ride or I like going for a walk. And then that all stopped in Los Angeles because you can't go for a bike ride or a walk unless you have a death wish. And I found that Colorado's lifestyle was, you know, pretty cool. And so they have like when the Democratic Convention was here, we were the first to have those shared bicycle systems.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The kind of people Denver are. Like in 2009, you had to explain that.
I think now, they just started that here, but they all ended up in the river.
Yeah. Right.
They're all in the river now.
Those are kind of cool. Like you park your, they have the bikes like parked and locked at a certain place in the city, and then you pay some money, and then you can ride that bike anywhere to like another place where you kind of park it and it locks it.
I could ride from my apartment to the grocery store, to Office Depot, to my favorite bars, to campus, to the comedy club. That was, you know, like enviable. And then I moved outside of Parker, and now I, you know, end up buying a mountain bike so I can ride.
So let's say you take the rent a bike to the grocery store and park it outside and go in and do your grocery shopping. And when you come out, in the time you were in there, someone else came out and said, ooh, a bike. Could they take the bike and then you don't have a bike?
Yeah, if they have a membership, then they take the bike. And that's kind of what the math counts on. You want the bikes going all over town so that, you know, there's generally somebody coming the other way as well.
Like then what do you do if you need a bike for the way back? Do you like hide it behind a dumpster or something? So nobody takes it while you're there?
The way the math works. There's generally going to be one waiting for you.
I was about to say, there's plenty of bikes.
Yeah, no, not a lot of people. The only one person doing it is Chuck here.
Right. And my friend Al Gorithm.
Chuck and Al.
It's an algorithm. That's what they use.
When you're in L.A., like L.A., I've never been to L.A., but I can only imagine that it has a pretty bustling comedy scene. And then you go to Colorado, is the scene – like, that's a pretty big change, right? Like,
good question. I had done my time in L.A., and really the best thing was working with professionals. I was on Will and Grace, Third Rock from the Sun, and I was Craig Kilborn's warm-up.
Oh, and cool.
Yeah, every time I came here to Denver, I made friends. I found places that I loved. It was always sunny, no matter what, winter, spring, summer, or fall.
Yeah.
And then, like, I go back to L.A., and friends, my best of friends would call me and be like, you're miserable there. And I was. I really didn't like the lifestyle. Like, it's 24/7 Hollywood. When you make friends, people seem to assess you for like, what can I get from you?
Sure.
And, I just decided I wanted to live. And Denver had some pretty good comedy clubs. And Red Rocks Amphitheater is here. And the first time I saw Red Rocks, I was like, I want to play this place. And like habitually, not just play it, but like, know it like I knew Craig Kilborn's stage or several comedy club stages. And when I moved here, I was able to host movies at Red Rocks for 10 seasons. So something like 7 to 10, you know, sometimes 15 shows a summer.
That amphitheater is beautiful. I've seen a lot of pictures of bands and stuff that have performed there. I've always wanted to.
Matt, did I ever tell you our Red Rocks story?
Did you go to Red Rocks?
Drunk went to Red Rocks. He went to Colorado to go to Red Rocks. He was going to go see awesome. Cypress Hill at Red Rocks, and
great.
Then he just didn't go. he got on a plane to go see Cypress Hill at Red Rocks, right. And then he just didn't go. And
if I'm not mistaken, he just sat in his hotel room and smoked weed. Correct.
I was going to say Colorado weed will do that to you.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, hey, I'm going to have this fun weed vacation. I'm going to go to Colorado. I'm going to smoke some weed. I'm going to go see Cypress Hill. That's the perfect a weed enthusiast.
It was my first trip to Denver, and I was not prepared for it.
You aren't prepared. That is such a drunk story.
So Chuck, Red Rocks is beautiful, I'm sure, but drunk was just like,
on your second visit. Maybe you can take it up a notch and actually go to the show. That'll be
right.
And leave your hotel room
Uber
on vacation.
And Lyft too. You can try those. That's gonna be.
You'd have to. Wouldn't you have to like call somebody or talk to somebody at that point though? Like, I mean,
Lyft. You can just use the app. You know, you don't have to actually communicate. I got empathy for you, drunk. If that's how you are, you know, like you don't want to talk, man.
Yes. All good.
We can do that. I've been that kind of drunk in Denver, and just drink extra water. We're a little different altitude than you.
Well, I didn't drink at all while I was up there. It was just strictly weed, and I just got too high.
Oh man, you're not the first. There's like commercials like on public TV or radio.
I'm looking at the schedule for Red Rocks. And Ween is playing two nights, June 5th and June 6th at the Red Rocks Amphitheater. That's pretty crazy.
I think they're done huffing Scotchgard, though, so it might not be quite the same experience. I saw them about 15 years ago in kind of a smaller club venue. It was like in a basement, and you literally could see I was like 6 feet from the stage, and they would like take a break between like, you know, like their third and fourth song, and you could see him in the backstage, like behind the curtain doing some kind of shit. I don't know if they were smoking something or huffing something or what, but Ween is I don't know how they are sober, but
hey July 4th Blues Traveler.
Oh, come on, guys. Right, we're gonna read the whole fucking Red Rock schedule here.
I got to do that with Lewis Black. It was Blues Traveler, Lewis Black, myself.
You open for Blues Traveler?
Oh, friend of the show, John Popper.
Yeah. You guys have an impressive list of folks who've played and talked on your show. I got so lost in the sunset playing Red Rocks while introducing. It was Lewis Black before Blues Traveler. And I went over my time and I couldn't find Lewis after, but I remember during my set, like just going, that is the most beautiful sunset. And then I'm like, back to work. You have crowd to entertain.
Just like, guys, seriously, stop watching me and just turn around and look at that.
Yeah, that's which
do you
is
believe
not
this
a goal
shit?
For any.
The earth, it's comedian. Amazing.
Stop you looking at me.
Rarely want to be like, please stop. And then pay attention to something else. And then we'll come back to me in a moment.
So you do the stand-up comedy. You also teach stand-up comedy like a community college, right? You're
yes,
a comedy instructor.
I teach at the Community College of Denver. We're the City Hawks. That's what happens when an eagle comes down from the mountain and has sex with a pigeon.
A City Hawk?
It's for real our mascot.
What is it? Is it wear a shirt?
I've got a couple t-shirts with the city. I believe one of the only people on campus that is enthusiastic about the mascot. And I bring it up all the time. Like it's Swoop, and he's the city. We're the City Hawks.
His name is Swoop.
Yeah, it's as ridiculous as it sounds. And like I'm on a social media committee with the marketing people, and there's days where I think they want to change it, and I'm like, no, we can't. It's Swoop and the City Hawks.
And do people take your class like for goofs, like a group of gals take a watercolor class, or do you get into like the business end, like you know?
They meet me and find out like I have built one hell of a comedy class. Like it ain't basket weaving.
No, I'm wondering if it's like people who have aspirations to be stand up comedians, or is it like so? It's not like people who are just like, oh, somebody told me I'm funny once. I mean, you know, just. Goofing around here, just want to check it out.
Total mix of everything you're talking about, and what plus like students who just needed an elective and like comedy class sounds pretty cool. That's what I love about it, is that I'm not like in charge of who's in the room. I don't have to do marketing or anything. It's just a college level comedy class, and
Chuck,
I've got to deliver all those people, all those perspectives, and they've got to come away understanding like what it's like to create your own personal stand-up comedy material.
How do you find that job? Like, Is that an ad that was in the on Craigslist or something?
And no, I was so lucky. I was a guest speaker a few semesters in a row. A comedian named Chris Voth taught the course before me, and he went on to get his doctorate, and the opportunity came around for me to teach it. And it turns out I'm a teacher nerd. I love the whole challenge of like teaching the impossible. People say you can't teach stand-up comedy.
Sure.
I certainly can. And I could take just about anybody. You throw me a situation and I will try and figure out how to get that person connected to the art of stand-up comedy. I love where comedy's done for me and for people who want to do it. That's obviously my favorite kind of student. And to show them how to come up with their own concept of stand-up comedy so that their art distinguishes themselves from others. And when they generate their own laughter, and my fans show up at the final exam comedy show and are like, everybody was funny. Nobody was a copy of anybody. And it's super fun. Obviously I get off on it. It's pretty.
So if I moved to Denver, you could teach me how to be funny.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I also teach online. I have my own website, comedy101.chuckroy.com. And I'm learning how to use like Zoom video conferencing to teach online. I think that's
Drunk. I think you're funny and like you're accidentally funny.
Thank you.
Like last week, I got a text message. Somebody said, isn't it funny that in one breath, Drunk says he hates superhero movies, but then said that Deadpool is the movie he's most looking forward to this summer? Is he?
Right.
You're a silly contradiction of a man is what you are.
I guess so.
You know, I feel I'm already an expert on stand-up comedy because I watched the Pete Holmes show Crashing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that really just teaches you everything you need to know, right? Like, you know, you go to the comedy club a couple times and then you make good friends with Artie Lang and Bill Burr and sleep on their couch and then you're in.
There you go.
That's if that's how that works. I mean, I hear about that show. I haven't watched it yet, but.
Oh, well, then, Chuck, do you have anything that I can teach you about stand-up comedy? I've watched every episode.
Maybe you can give me some lessons from Bill Burr. I started with that kid. Like when I was a rookie, it was Bill Burr, Dane Cook, Patrice O'Neill in Boston, and like quite a thrill. Like,
all right, I hope that I don't want to put you on the spot if you don't feel comfortable answering the question. I get it. How much does a class cost? An online class?
An online class?
Yeah.
I'll sell them from anywhere between, you know, 20 to 20 bucks or about 59 a class, even less. The last time I sold them, it was 99 for a group of 10. And I gave away coupons for like 50 bucks off.
Mike.
My first workshops were just the other day. I've only been selling, you know, courses.
See, Mike, Matt, that's what Pete Holmes does on the show. He hands out coupons and when he just does it out there. He hands them out and, you know, says, hey, come to this comedy club. And people come.
We have to buy Cameron Reedy a class.
It's a very inside joke.
I know that it is, but we've got to get Cameron classes.
Of all the people you mentioned, I can't help Cameron. I could help Drunk and such.
Thank you.
Cameron lacks the basic skills that I'll need to build on.
I mean, you're definitely right.
You're the nail on the head.
Not wrong.
Sure. I took a big guess there.
I was kind of sitting here wondering, oh my God, has Chuck Roy heard of the legend of Cameron Reedy?
I was also.
I was kind of being quiet there. I was like, you know, he's probably taking a big guess, but no, Cameron, he's pretty.
I mean, come on, Cameron definitely has tweeted Chuck at some point. That has happened.
Chuck, I have another inside comedy question for you here. Why are gals into Ryan Stiles? What is it about him that the gals find so irresistible? Can you explain that one to me?
Charm, long fingers, big toes, so you can estimate a big dick.
charming. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, big dick.
He is a tall drink of water for sure.
I feel like he did his best work with Colin Mockery, though. Like, now that Colin Mockery is gone,
yeah.
Does he have it?
Wasn't it his best work, like, two guys, a girl, and a pizza place?
Oh, that was a great show. that was a great show, and I'm so happy that you brought it up.
Me too.
I think we have a lot in common. We get along.
Honestly, if that's all this interview was you just bringing that up, I'm fine with it.
I'm pretty connected right now.
I feel like, too, I mean, it stayed its course even when they dropped the pizza place from the title.
Yeah.
Just two guys and a girl. I think it was still.
What happened to the pizza place? Did they just stop going?
No, they still went.
Oh.
I thought they sold it.
They just stopped talking about it.
Because the one guy became a firefighter, right?
Yeah.
No. I feel like it's sad for us as a society that we couldn't work the whole title. Like we had to drop pizza place.
I feel like it's the problem is I think as a society that we couldn't save the pizza place. You know what I mean? For those characters.
Well, I mean, Travis, the reboots are the word right now. So maybe two guys, a girl, and a pizza place will come back in its full.
Whatever happened to the girl?
Drop her. What happened to the other guy?
Oh, he still acts, doesn't he?
He pops up once in a while.
I think he was an iZombie, to be honest.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
The guy from Two Guys and a Girl.
Yeah, the guy that wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, Mike, the other guy from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place is Deadpool, so.
Right.
Excellent callback. someone's going to have to fact check that one.
I don't know that we have the resources for that.
We got Google. Google in a comment section. Hopefully somebody can work that out.
Oh, Mike's light bulb is an Alexa. Mike, ask your light bulb.
Travis, that light bulb, it died.
Oh, thank goodness.
Chuck, the social media, the at Chuck Roy, if people want to reach out to you, you got the website, chuckroy.com, if people want to take your class, learn how to do comedy, or just email me and I'll send you the links to the Pete Holmes crashing show.
Right.
Is there anything I missed? I think
you nailed it.
No, I think you did miss something. Chuck, now that you've spent a little bit of time with Mike, would you say in casual conversation that Mike is an amazing person?
Yeah.
I feel all right.
It was really.
When it comes really to everyone I've met today, Mike is really an amazing person. Oh.
Chuck, before I let you go, when you go up on a stage, when you're a stand-up comedian, when you go up on stage, what do you do with your wallet? Do you leave your wallet in your pocket? Do you leave it backstage? Where does your
back
wallet
pocket?
You just leave it in
back
there?
Back pocket, right-hand side, left-hand side might be any notes or set list.
Okay, so the wallet stays on you.
Pint of beer in hand.
There you go. There's nothing better than
telling jokes and drinking a beer. It's one of my favorite things.
The wallet staying on is rarer than you would think.
I know. Usually they like put it on a speaker and stuff, don't they?
People are concerned about, you know, the way their ass looks up on stage, but not Chuck. Chuck don't give a shit.
He just goes after
I'd be paranoid that I'd be just constantly feeling for it.
Maybe he gets on that bike for long enough and, you know, he starts wearing some tighter jeans and, you know, showing off his physique. Maybe he takes that wallet out and leaves it backstage. Leaves it in his car or something, you know.
So when you're on the bike,
I like a little
butt
place. I'll probably leave it there.
Yeah, check it.
When you're on the bike, is the wallet still in the back pocket, or you got a fanny pack for that, or
even when I'm being pickpocketed, my wallet is still in the back pocket. Pocket proof. I wear pickpocket proof pants.
Guys, you get on the old Twitter guy. You at Chuck Roy, you tell him you heard him here. You check out his comedy dates. Chuck, thank you for hanging out with us for a bit. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Thanks for I look forward to it. Thank you so much for having me. It was nice to meet y'all.
No problem, dude. Take care.
Thanks, Chuck.
Charles, I like Chuck.
I do too.
He's a fun guy, right?
I'm looking at his website right now. comedy101.chuckroy.com.
There you go. Here, you take the class. You do it.
Chuck and I, we talked quite a bit in the break.
Did you?
I was listening.
Yeah, Travis was just listening in.
I feel like I come back and Matt's talking to an upcoming guest. I feel it'd be rude for me to like just jump in.
Yeah,
and
Travis,
say,
that's why we need
I'm
Matt
also
around.
Here.
Matt, you know, he checks in with the guests during the break. He makes them feel comfortable. He lulls them into a false sense of security.
Like warming them for the upcoming show.
Yeah, if you ever don't want me on the show, but you just want me in that little break, talk to your guest.
Matt, next week we got a guest. You're gonna hang out and talk to the guest.
I think I could have talked to Chuck for a lot longer. I actually really wanted to know his take on.
Well, you gotta keep people guessing. You know, you save some for next time. You gotta savor it. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I wanted to hear his take on just like all the comedians that are kind of taking a nosedive these days, like Louis C.K. and like if he's teaching comedy. Is he teaching like a safer comedy or because I feel like it's so risky to
Matt.
Do certain types of comedy.
So you're wondering if he has like a course like built it within his course about either not roofing women to have sex with them or not whipping your dick out and jerking off in front of them?
Yeah. Like how do you defend against that?
Matt, you have Chuck Roy on the Chuck Wagon and you guys can talk about that at length, Matt.
That's true.
A whole goddamn episode. I have a whole Cardi B bit to get to.
That concept of the two Chucks on one show.
Chuck Roy and Chuck Wagon.
Chuck Wagon.
Damn it, that sounds great, right?
That sounds good.
Mike, really he teaches like a class online, and I would throw down $20 right now
just
to get Cameron Reedy a class.
Do you think that Dick, do you think he would take it though? Like, do you think he'd take it seriously? Or do you
I
think
would
he would
tell
be like
Cameron that he's teaching Chuck.
Oh wow.
Now listen, Chuck. It's all about abortion and sluts.
Guys, this is a really inside joke. The Cameron Reedy.
It can't be that inside. Like, this is the whole thing you did with Benny.
I have no clue what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Yeah, there's a guy who his name's Cameron Reedy. Look him up.
You'd hasten to say he's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I almost said it, before. Travis, but then I was like, no.
No.
I
will not qualify this guy.
Travis, we've talked a lot about hip hop tonight, and so I got to talk about the Cardi B. What do you think of the Cardi B? You checked her out?
Not sure what that is.
She's a lady. She was on a television show, and now she's a rap lady. And people,
what was the television program? First of all,
is it like one of those ones that's like on Bravo or someone's like hip hop love and hip hop?
All right.
The Hip Hop Wives of Los Angeles, or you know, something like that. And it's one of those shows, Travis. I just know about her rapping. She had a Instagram post that a lot of people paid attention to, where she was pretty. The taxes just came out. Don't you do your taxes?
Yeah, I have. I spent them. Yes.
You did your taxes, right? Tax day came and went.
I did my taxes on. I think it was February 1st is when I filed.
Now, Cardi B, she paid a lot of taxes because she made a lot of money on her album. And I have the clip of Cardi B.
Right, so you know the government is taking 40% of my taxes. And Uncle Sam, I want to know what you're doing with my fucking tax money. Because you know what I'm saying? Like, when you donate... Like, when you donate to a kid from a foreign country, they give you updates of what they're doing with your donation. I want to know what you're doing with my fucking tax money, because I'm from New York and the streets is always dirty. We was voted the dirtiest
she
city
has points,
in America.
She has a point.
What
Cardi
is y'all doing? There's still rats on the damn trains. I know y'all not spending it in no damn prison, because y'all be giving niggas like two underwears, one jumpsuit for like 5 months. So what is y'all niggas doing with my fucking money? What is y'all doing with my fucking money? I want to know. I want receipts.
Travis.
I want everything. I want to know what y'all niggas doing with my fucking money. What is y'all niggas doing with my fucking money?
Are you over Cardi B already, Travis?
I wish it would stop.
Now, Travis, the St. Louis Zoo, it's free to go to, the St. Louis Zoo. We love the St. Louis Zoo. We go all the time. And every year, my parents renew my zoo parent membership. And I am a zoo parent, drunk.
A hippo?
No, I am the parent to one
penguin?
Of our baby elephants.
The one that just died?
Oh, I hope it wasn't that one. Oh, maybe I should look it up. Did an elephant just die?
Raja, right.
How long have you been a zoo parent to this elephant?
It's going on like 3 or 4 years, Travis. I've been
It's probably not a baby anymore.
Well, I mean, it's a younger elephant than the other elephants. I have a certificate on my refrigerator. It says that
I
am a...
Do you get letters from this elephant like Jack Nicholson got letters from Ndugu and Get Schmidt?
Now, in theory, what the certificate...
Aren't you glad you weren't the parent of Harambe?
Yeah, I'd be pissed. See, now what happens is I bet if Harambe dies... They don't, like, refund all of your zoo parent money and say, oh, well, we don't got to feed him anymore, so you're off the hook. I don't think necessarily that, you know, if I donate money to this elephant to be a zoo parent, that, like, my money is specifically going to that elephant.
So do you think that you're the only parent to this elephant?
Like, what I'm saying is, like, if 400 people are a zoo parent for this elephant, and, like, nobody is... the zoo parent for like the one of the prairie dogs, like the prairie dogs probably aren't going hungry and the elephants living better. Right. You know, it's probably, you know, they just. So what I was thinking is
my sister refused to go in the birdhouse.
Why?
She's afraid of birds.
Why? Of all the things to be afraid of, she's afraid of birds.
Weirdo, right?
Like what, that they'll escape and then swoop down at her?
Yeah.
Does she
have swoop down on you? The birdhouse, like, they're free they're free running. Like, they go wherever the hell they want.
In the chat, Jay Adson is asking, the zoo is free? Yes, Jay Adson.
Here in St. Louis, motherfucker, the zoo is free,
Jay. And it's wonderful. We have one of the best zoos in the country.
Voted the best a couple weeks ago. Voted the best in the country.
We have a great zoo. And it's from people like me, the zoo parents, Drunk. You
absolutely
know what I'm saying?
So, you mean people like your parents?
It's a gift, Travis. It's a gift to me, the zoo parent membership.
So you're taking credit for that?
I mean, yeah, the certificate has my name on it, Travis. The
right.
Certificate for the elephant.
All right.
I am the zoo parent. I have a bumper sticker, Travis. I get one every year. Maybe we should have like a giveaway. I'll give away my zoo parent bumper sticker. I'm not putting that
you
on my car.
You can be a zoo parent too.
Yeah.
Take credit.
So what if there was a thing on your tax form that, like, you know, like 30% of your taxes go to like one of like five categories that you elect? Like, you know, say I want my taxes to go to roads. I want my taxes to go to schools. I want my taxes to go to, what are the other things that taxes can go to?
Everything.
Welfare.
The post office, welfare. You pick a thing that 30% of your taxes go to, and you know, that just kind of like shows what the priorities of the people are, so that like you kind of know where to put stuff.
I feel like I hear where you're coming from, but it's also a bad idea.
Yeah, I feel like most things that get done wouldn't get done if you left it in the hands of the people.
But wouldn't you feel better about it, though, Travis? If, like, you sent out your taxes and you said, okay, 30% of my taxes are going to roads.
I kind of identify as a libertarian, so I don't feel like I should pay taxes at all, so you're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah, but you're gonna.
I like the idea. It would be nice, but I don't think most people would spend their money wisely, which, again, is why you have local politicians that you vote for
but
do all that for you.
If they don't spend it wisely, then you know it's still the will of the goddamn people. If we sink together. If people
that's the point. Is like, all right, well, we can't sink together because
Matt, there's a road by my house that federal funding and state funding were going to split to fix this road. And the federal funding sent their money to the state, and the state couldn't come up with their half of the money. And so they just put up a barricade and closed the road.
Of course.
There's a light, a street light for the road that.
You talking about the one by Club Hawks?
Yeah. They just closed the fucking road.
I always wondered what happened with that.
My tax money, I would write, there would be a write-in section. I'd just write, fix that fucking road. It's been closed for like 6 years.
Longer than that, I think. Probably closer to 10.
You can actually go. They have like meetings in your city and townships where you can go and voice your concern.
Be like, hey guys, what's up with this road?
Problem is,
like, hey, this fucking road has been busted forever. You closed it because you don't want to fix it. I'd really like you to fix it. You can totally go to these town meetings.
Yeah, but it's in unincorporated St. Louis, so we'd have to drive.
So the people they send in that form, and I think you'd feel better about it. I think you'd be like, okay. I know 30% of what I'm sending is going towards Planned Parenthood or
So what would yours actually go to, Mike?
Mine would go to having more security at the Valley of Flowers parade. we live in a Florissant, and every year we have this
right next door to Ferguson, by the way.
This big carnival, and every year there's a bunch of gunshots and fights, and they close down the carnival. And at a certain point, you just got to say, let's not have a carnival anymore. You know, you say, no, let's not have a carnival. We're getting too inside again. Cameron Reedy is bad at comedy.
Why do you live there?
I don't know why we live here.
Get in a fucking car and put your shit in a U-Haul and drive away from that place.
Drive out to Colorado and look at the goddamn sunset. You know what I'm saying?
Listening to Chuck talk about Colorado and Denver.
Sounds great.
Oh my God! And just being near that amphitheater, like I was looking at pictures of it, it looks just so amazing, and I can definitely see getting lost in the sunset.
Colorado's beautiful. Like I was out there a lot when I was younger. My dad before he passed, and I lived there until I was five. But my dad before he passed lived in Colorado Springs, which is out obviously quite a bit outside of Denver. But
yeah,
the state is gorgeous. The one thing I will say about Denver, in my memory anyway, is you have to be in Denver to appreciate it. You can't be driving towards Denver to appreciate it, because as you're driving towards Denver, you just see like a big yellow cloud that signifies big city shit while you're driving through like beautiful mountain ranges and whatnot.
Yeah.
Michelle says that we wouldn't last in a Colorado.
Didn't he say
winter.
That it's sunny and warm all year round?
He did say it was sunny. I don't know if did he say it was warm?
No, I think Colorado probably gets cold.
Well, it's pretty chilly, but it's
not snow.
They have mountains with snow on them.
Isn't that crazy, right? Though?
I don't know. I'm reading a headline right here that says, relax, Denver winters aren't that bad.
The best thing about Colorado is if you do have a yearning for snow and it's 90 degrees at baseline, you can drive like the hour and a half up to the mountains. And
yeah, you know, they say that sports teams, when they play Colorado, they're not used to the elevation. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So this article says that winters are usually 50 to 70 degrees.
That sounds fine. Right. Sounds fine, guys.
Yeah, the only problem with Denver right now is very unaffordable.
They've got a flock of people coming in to smoke all their legal weed.
Me and my lady have looked into it, and it is not cheap.
Don't you think Drunk should have met up with me afterwards just to say hey?
Not after. I am totally against meeting after, man.
Thank you, guys.
I mean, just to say hey, I'm not talking about like having
Mike's
a whole...
got this written all big and bold on his little like note sheet for
Drunk
the
got
show.
The poops. That's what I got.
No.
And he was totally thinking you guys were going to be on his side.
No, I would have done the same thing, especially if I had seats toward the back. I would have fucking bolted out
drunk
of there.
Drunk got the poops.
Every concert that I've ever been to, like, I start to leave before the last song. Just so that I can beat the crowd to my car and not have to sit in a bunch of shit to get out of the...
Even to say hey, you know. Hey to your pal.
Yeah, man. I'm going to a festival this weekend, a two-day like rock festival.
Don't nobody try to meet up with Travis.
Yeah, both days. We're getting a hotel, though. Like, there's camping on site, but we're not doing that. And,
what is it called? Where's that?
Northern Invasion. It's in Somerset, Wisconsin. Headliners are like Tool and Perfect Circle and Avenged Sevenfold, and it's a pretty sweet lineup. And I feel like if I bumped into somebody or saw somebody across a crowd of people as I was leaving, I would probably ignore them, and maybe I'd see them the next day. But if it was the last day, c'est la vie.
I gave Mike the wave. That's all he asked for was the wave. And
about what I would do, waving and maybe a nod. I'd give a nod. I don't even know if I'd wave.
Too big for me.
Draw attention
big
to myself.
Time.
I'd meet up with you before.
Drunk, do you have what you'd say is a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Drunk?
Nope.
Nope.
Travis, a pick of the week?
Travis's pick of the week this week is, and I do not believe I brought this up before. Maybe I did, so correct me if I'm saying this
again. Is it Avengers Infinity War?
Oh, no, then I'm good to go. Downrange. It's a Shudder exclusive about a handful of young 20-somethings that get caught on the side of the road and are picked off by a sniper for an hour and a half. Oh. It is brutal and unrelenting and very gory. But I highly recommend it if you're into that kind of thing.
Matt,
yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. It was fun to have you as a special guest.
Thanks, Mike.
It's Matt May.
It is. I guess that's...
Do you have a pick of the week,
Matt? He already had one earlier in the episode, remember?
No, this is reluctant pick of the week. What's his... full-blown pick of the week.
Just found out that Rick Moranis is unretiring to play a character in the Goldbergs.
Oh, he's going to play Dark Helmet.
Yeah.
I've
never watched the Goldbergs before,
I've actually,
but check it out.
Today, been listening to the Little Shop of Horrors soundtrack, the music. Big fan. Rick Moranis.
Guys, we did it.
We made it.
It was a show. It happened. And we'll do it again next week. We appreciate everybody showing up in chat. Jay and Michelle. And that's it, really. But, I mean, it was nice of them to come.
Yeah, MLWK is going to be at Northern Invasion.
Yep.
Who's that?
Andrew WK.
That guy knows how to fucking party, doesn't he?
Why don't you read us the rest of the Red Rocks list?
Yeah, you got some more Red Rocks dates, Matt? You got that pulled up?
I exited out of it, but I can open it back up and read you the entire summer.
Oh, Matt. We need it. We need it, Matt.
I'm singing for Stone Temple Pilots nowadays.
I think it's that Asian.
Is this some Asian? Is that like the third singer they've had?
From that,
it's not an Asian.
Journey.
It's some guy. I think he was on American Idol or The Voice or something.
That Daughtry guy?
June 19th.
Not Daughtry.
Daughtry's not in Stone Temple.
At Red Rocks Amphitheater, June 19th, Bare Naked Ladies, Better Than Ezra, and KT Toonstall.
Yeah,
KT Toonstall, Black Horse in a Cherry Tree.
June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, Widespread Panic, all 3 days.
Guns out, funds out.
Trampled by Turtles going to be performing July 19th.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Hey there, fella. Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. You can join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. Just about every night of the week, you can find yourself a nice little live program. They do a whole thing. It's fun. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODix.com. That's right. WFODix.com is where the show lives. Go over there. Check it out. God damn it, is it a great website. Let me tell you, we got it all. You like links? Got links. You like podcasts? We got podcasts. You like blogs? Well, there's some of those, too. Not too many. There should be more. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFO Dix. We're at WFO Dix on everything. So if you have a social media, reach out, say hi. If you want to email us, Mike or Travis at WFODix.com or drunk at WFODix.com. All three of us, we have an email. Give us a call when we're live, when we're not live. Give us a call whenever you want. 636-487-HAND. Comments, feedback, whatever. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors. Harry Balls on ya, Liquid Lozenge, and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, patreon.com/WFODix. Kick us a buck or two. Get all that premium stuff that we put up there. Bonus episodes. Well, not really bonus episodes. After shows. You get after shows. Sometimes you get pre-shows. Hey, there's stuff on there. It's fun. Or, you know, you could just do it to be a nice guy. You don't have to contribute money. Or you do the show for funsies. We don't care about the cash. But, you know, reach out to a guest. If we have a guest, tell them you heard them here. Retweet the show. Tell a friend. Support our sponsors. There's lots of things you can do. Give us an iTunes review. Anything. I mean, be a pal. We're doing the show. If you like the show, get involved. You know what I'm saying? We'll see you next week. We appreciate you. There's no point in doing it without you. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
Give it up for Cameron Reedy.
You almost got it wrong, but thank you. Glad to be here. My wife and I actually took an 11-hour drive here, and I'm actually surprised. She came home late at night and decided she wanted to come. That's just the way she is. But my wife and I both work really, really hard. So at the end of the week, we always try to get some kind of relief, whatever it might be. For an example, I come home on Friday. I walk into the room, and she might be lying in bed, mostly naked. You know, lingerie, fuzzy handcuffs, nylon strapping, whatever. Tells me that I can bind her up and do anything I want to her, right? Sky's the limit. So I tie her up and throw her in the closet. It makes for a great weekend. Matter of fact, I don't think I've let her out yet. I hope she's okay.